we get things rolling by talking some baseball. As we start out right out of the box here with one of my favorites, thrilled to have him on the show. Have admired his work for a long time. He's the host of FanRag Fantasy Baseball. He writes about baseball for FanRag Sports and FanGraphs. He's just one of the best in the business. Al Melchior, thank you so much for being with us.
Rich, thank you so much for having me on. Thanks for that really wonderful introduction as well.
Oh, man, I've been reading your stuff for years and listening to the podcast. It's great stuff. But let's talk some of that unreal, real baseball first. It's been an interesting postseason already. Thank you very much, Boston Red Sox and Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, especially the Indians. I know New England probably the focus maybe is a little more on the Red Sox and of the firing. Yeah, I really figured that the Indians, I wasn't sure that they'd get past the Astros in the ALCS, but I figured at least they'd get that far. So the Yankees, big surprise, and actually is just in New York. Came back to Montana where I live yesterday, so I got a few days full of New York media and their take on that series. Really a great start to the postseason.
Yeah, who knows what to expect now, and the Nationals extend it to a fifth game, and apparently Steven Strasburg just needs to always pitch when he's sick.
Yeah, it's funny how that works sometimes, but I was surprised to see him go, and certainly surprised to see that he pitched so well, and unfortunately, because of my cross-country travel, I missed that entire performance, so looked like it was pretty incredible.
When it comes to fantasy baseball, I know there are some early mock drafts coming up. I'm in a league that's in the middle of a draft for next season right now. What's the most precious commodity in fantasy baseball these days?
I'd say reliable pitching, reliable starting pitching. And I suppose reliable closer, too, because I don't really think there's more than maybe five or six that are really worth pursuing relatively early in the draft. And I mean, in most leagues that I'm in, closers don't start coming off the board until maybe the sixth or seventh round. But I think really until you get to, you know, the double digit rounds, there's really no point in pursuing a closer unless you're going after Kenley Jansen or Craig Kimbrell. Very short list beyond that, to be honest. So I'm not even sure if I would include Aroldis Chapman there, even though you know, he's clearly rebounded late in the season and now in the postseason. So yeah, I'd say ace closers and ace pitchers, or you know, ace slash number two starting pitchers, because there's really maybe about a dozen to 15 that are really reliable, and then everybody else is sort of a wild card, either due to inexperience, injury history, general inconsistency. I have found that in the early mock that I'm doing right now, that I'm really kind of waiting on pitching in general.
Well, with closers, too, it's always a bit of a crapshoot. It seems like about half of them that start the year with that job don't finish the year in that position. So there are always guys that you can grab off the waiver wire as well. And I have had an annoying tendency through the years to try and cover myself and end up invariably, if I take three guys from one team, it'll be the fourth guy that ends up with 20 saves.
Yeah, I've had that same tendency. And this year I showed some good discipline, both with not spending very much on saves and also not spending much on steals, because it's a similar story there, where there are players that emerge mid-season that you can often get much more cheaply, waivers or fab, getting them that way, as opposed to spending a pretty penny for something that appears scarce on draft or auction day. So yeah, I think I finally learned the lesson that I'm just not going to spend on closers. In fact, you said roughly half. I haven't gone further back than this, but in each of the last two seasons, at least two-thirds of the closers, opening day closers, have lost their jobs at some point during the season.
Yeah, and I had three of those Texas guys spend good money on Matt Bush. That worked out well for me.
Well, again, you know, it's going to be more unusual to find the owner who doesn't have a story like that. So, yeah, whether you go for him on draft day, or, you know, you spend some good fab money during the year, you're taking a risk.
Let's start at the top here. Is Mike Trout still the consensus number one guy out there?
I think so. I mean, to me, he's the clear number one. I'm involved in a series of early mocks that are called Too Early Mock, with the number two And that's set up by my FanGraphs colleague, Justin Mason. And I'm pretty sure Trout went number one in all four of them. So based on that really limited sample, I'd have to agree with you. And just, you know, based on the chatter on Twitter, and social media in general, it seems like Trout. I'm not sure I've heard a candidate tossed out to be number one other than Mike Trout.
Who's a guy who maybe ought to be in the top five, but is constantly undervalued by people?
Top five, because it's certainly the guy to me who seems very undervalued, but I think it's a real stretch to say top five would be J.D. Martinez. I think he could be top 12, and yet in these early mocks, he's more late second round. People, this is really the second year in a row where I feel like people aren't taking him seriously enough, but not in the top five that should be. I'd say maybe right now, maybe Josh Donaldson, although, I can justify him going later, but I just think with the rough season that he had in terms of missing a lot of time with injury and not doing well, or at least as well as we expected initially, I have a feeling he's going to be drafted a lot later than he should be. And he's somebody I think who could maybe go fifth, and that would, or, you know, at least should go fifth, and that would be okay. And I doubt he will go fifth in very many leagues.
We're talking with Al Melchior here on Downtown. Love those bargains. Who are guys who disappointed people this year that might be good buy low candidates for the coming season?
Yeah, no, they're always great to find. And, the thing is that we all have our favorites going into draft day. And yet sometimes, really, the real bargains are the ones that you find mid-season. I think Matt Olson probably won people a bunch of leagues this year. One of the leagues I'm in is Tout Wars, which is one of the industry leagues. And I just picked him up very cheaply in Fab, I want to say maybe around June, and then he got initial call-up and didn't do much and got sent down. And fortunately, I had either the luck or the patience or something to hang on to him. I've heard a lot of stories from people saying that Matt Olson really helped them later on. So, it's great to get, let's say a J.D. Martinez at value on draft day, but sometimes midseason fab pickups can be just as valuable.
Who impressed you this year with the crop of rookies, guys that maybe people can get for, if it's an auction draft, less than full price, or maybe you can sneak in the middle rounds in a straight draft?
So rookies from this year, you're asking?
Yeah, maybe some of the guys who came up in midseason.
Yeah, well, I'm going to stick with the Aether because somebody I really like who I think didn't impress that many people is Matt Chapman. He's got tremendous power. I have some hope for him that he could maybe not be great for batting average, but not be an albatross either. So I think that him being, I'd say, at best inconsistent in his rookie season is going to be advantageous to people who draft him and probably be able to get him very late. And a little higher end, but I think somebody who could really overperform. And to be honest, I'm not sure if I don't think he exhausted his rookie eligibility in 2016, but I'm not sure. But Jose Barrios, so whether he's technically a rookie or just a young pitcher, he finished very strong, but he had kind of a rough stretch in the middle of the season that might leave more of a lasting impression on owners. And that's the thing, too, is that a lot of owners do kind of drop out or pay less attention once football starts just because that's where they put their attention, or maybe they didn't have teams that went into the playoffs in fantasy. And so they might have missed some of those late season surges. But I like what Barrios showed for most of the season, both at the beginning and then towards the end. And I think that's something that he can build on, because I think there can still be more strikeouts to come, a little better control, which was something that was really a hallmark for him in the minor leagues. And he's proven to be very good for a fly ball pitcher at preventing extra base hits. And I think his park helps him with that. And I think he's just shown a knack for inducing some soft contact. So among pitchers, Barrios is one that I will probably target a lot come March.
It's harder these days because there are so many sources of information out there. It's harder to sneak anybody in. I mean, you got guys in FAB or in Ultra Drafts who are grabbing people who are single A pitchers and prospects who just came out of high school. It's harder than ever, I think, to find those diamonds in the rough that we could get playing the game 15, 20 years ago.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, it's a completely different landscape. And it's, you know, even just among the people, if you think back, 10, 15 years who, were getting, say, the Baseball Prospectus Annual and the Baseball Forecaster, and they were, sort of on the cutting edge at that point. And that sort of information is, pretty widely available to everybody now. And you think, okay, because the kinds of metrics that were available there, and it's okay, everybody's got that. Where do you go now? And I try to mine the StatCast data, which again is also widely available, but that's kind of where I find the newer frontier that I find myself going to the last season or two to try to get an edge and find some players that have some promise with, some different statistical profiles.
Well, and that's what been the great advance, I think, in the last few years. And you guys at Fangraphs do tremendous work with this, getting away from, and whatever you use for categories in your league, realizing that things like batting average and ERA in terms of scouting players are pretty much useless.
Yeah. Well, I think about my first year or two in the fantasy league. Now, this is the mid-90s. And, doing really poorly the first couple of years. And then I finally had a good friend in the league kind of pull me aside one day and say, hey, maybe, take a look at OBP. that kind of blew my mind in, 1995. So yeah, we've all, I think, come a long way since then.
Yeah, I don't miss the days. I think the first year I played where I would split the duties with another guy in the league, and each of us would take half of USA Today on Tuesdays, and one would do the hitting stats and one would do the pitching stats for the leagues. I'm glad we've advanced past that in our knowledge and understanding.
Yeah, and the technology too. But yeah, the old standby, the Baseball Weekly from USA Today, that was part of the requisite reading list every week, to be sure.
Well, and thanks to guys like you, us fantasy baseball addicts have an outlet throughout the year and can always get great information. Listen to Al's Fantasy Baseball Podcast on Fantasy Radio. Of course, read his work on FanRag Sports and FanGraphs. Al Melchior, great treat to have you on with us. Hope we can do it again down the road.
I love that, Rich. Thank you so much.